Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
How many of you have ever been bruised? Yeah. I think a great way for us to describe the events of 2020 is that we're bruised, we're not broken, right? We are still here. And the interesting thing is, God's still in control. How many of you established New Year's resolutions? How many of you have already broken the New Year's resolutions? Okay. Yeah. I mean, those things happen, right? Well, one of the things that I set out to do was to start working out again, to get in better shape. And, you know, I think that's one of the most common ones that everybody tries to do. And so here I am working out, and I have to be honest, my entire body aches, right? It is bruise after bruise after bruise. And at one point, you know, we live in a two-story house, and at one point I actually thought that I was going to have to make a pallet at the foot of the stairs because I was not going to make it upstairs to our bedroom and just sleep at the foot of the stairs. And then I realized, wait, I have two bedrooms downstairs. I can just go in one of those. You know, body aches when you work out again. It's painful, but yet it's already rewarding. I think the church is often referred to as the body, and it is our, it's even in our mission and vision statement. If you look at our statement, it says we are a body of believers in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. If you look at the caveats there on our statement, it actually says that we diligently desire to be transformed into mature disciples, grounded in the Bible, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. In the church, much like our faith, the body is often weary with bruises, pain, and aches. But that pain often leads to some of the most rewarding moments of our lives. When you endure that pain, pain-free existence. Here's a thought for you. How many of you want to live a pain-free life? Too late? Some of you is like, hey, that ship's already sailed, okay. Well, here's the reality. A pain-free existence only exists in heaven. When you die. Yeah. Life is full of pain. It's part of the process, right? It's part of it. So today I want to look at a couple things in our mission statement. The first thing I want to look at is that phrase, diligently desire to be transformed into mature disciples. What does it mean to diligently desire? You see, it's so much more than just putting it on paper. It's a yearning. It's a desire to want or even need a change to take place in your life. It's this passionate chasing after something that you know should be different in your life. But it's backed up by something even greater than just a desire to be transformed into something. It's a desire to be transformed into a mature disciple. What does that even look like? It's this consistent pursuit of faith. How many of you would say today that you have your faith 100% figured out? No? Why not? Some of us are longer in tooth than others here. Some of us, you know, appear to have it all put together, right? But why is it such a diligent desire? You see, I think that's the point. It is a persistent chasing after a consistent faith. It doesn't just happen at your transformation or the moment where you're saved into Christ's family, you're born into the kingdom through baptism. That doesn't do anything for you other than allow Christ to justify you and sanctify you. That journey truly begins at that moment where you give your life to Christ, and then it becomes a diligent desire to be transformed, to be changed, to be altered, to continue that process of growing into a mature disciple. But far too often people think that, hey, once I come to church, I give my life to Christ, I can sit down and enjoy the ride. It does not work that way. It just doesn't. I think that word transformed simply means to be changed or altered or be different. How many of you would say today that you are different today because of 2020? Everybody. I don't think anyone in this room hasn't been affected by COVID or the political process and all of that mess that even happened last week. It's affecting us in a very real way. And what is it that can combat that very issue in our life? It's not us. It's not us. It's not electing more leaders. It's not changing Democrat to Republican or Libertarian or Green Party or Tea Party. It's none of that stuff. The only thing that will change our future course for 2021 is simply Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. If we're not willing to accept the rules that have been placed over us and surrender authority to those governing over us and pray that God changes them, what are we doing? If we're not allowing Christ to transform our world, what are we doing? That's what we're called to do. And if we are diligent in our desire to be transformed into that mature disciple, we're not going to be tossed back and forth by the wind and waves of this mess. The best way to a consistent faith is serving Jesus Christ. The best way and the only way I know out of this mess called our life is through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. That's it. You want to see a world transformed? You want to see people come together? Start your faith journey today. I guarantee you, you will be changed. You will be altered. You will be different. And people will see that difference. Now, what does he say here about mature disciples? I think there's a few scripture verses here. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 13. Talking about mature disciples, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Any of those apply today? Any of those sound familiar to you? Oh, absolutely. That is where we are today. He says, as mature disciples, we should be growing up in the faith, so we're not tossed back and forth by every decision this world tries to place on us, that we're not gullible to every doctrine that every church and every person wants to espouse, that we're not trapped by the human cunningness and the craftiness of the schemes of this world. I tell you what, I see it every day, and every day I am shocked by the depravity and of our world, and the lengths that people go to deceive others. It is unreal, some of the things that happen in our world. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. What's he telling us there? Pay attention to what people tell you. Listen, if you are just taking my word for it and not doing your own study, your own growth, you're missing the point of what he's trying to tell you here. Don't be children in your thinking. Just don't take what people say as solid gospel. Research it. Figure it out. The phrase milk to solid food comes to mind here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by what? Constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, here's a little bit of a transition, I think, that has taken place in our culture. See, we're good at recognizing evil for evil and calling it what it is, right? We understand that. Our problem is not so much recognizing that as much as it is recognizing the difference between good, what is good, and what is best. There's a difference there. What is good for you and what is best for you. The good from evil. Man, look at this week on our TV, on Facebook, Twitter, all of that mess. Think about everything that has happened in our world. You can see the good from the evil, but no one ever stops to consider what is best. What is best for us? I think if you were to go back and look at Corinthians 14:20, the word that comes out of that is naive. Don't be naive in our thinking. Don't be gullible, right? Listen to what God is trying to tell you. Allow Him to transform you and change you and grow you into that spiritual being that He wants you to be. Secondly, I think we need to be grounded in the Bible. Grounded in the Bible. Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I can't tell you how many times someone has come up to me and said, "Hey, preacher, you know how many times I've read the Bible through and through?" Yeah, that's great that you want to read the Bible. I'm all for that. But what are you doing with it? How are you applying that knowledge to your life? Is it making any kind of difference in the foundational strength of your life? Are you using that for spiritual strength? The Bible. Some have defined it as basic instructions before leaving earth, right? That's kind of how we look at it, as the basic instructions. But that's also short-sighting the Bible, because it's so much more than just the basic foundation of our faith. It's how God speaks to His people. It's how we discern and find out what the very love of Christ is and the love of God is in our life. And that's how, look how He classifies it in verse 18. He says, with all the saints. Do you realize today that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, have been immersed into His kingdom, you are following His commandments in your life, and you're growing spiritually, you are a saint. Yes, you can go home today and tell your spouse, "Hey, remember, I'm a saint." Right? I'm a saint. You might get some pushback on that. This is all I'm saying. Just a little bit. But here's the point. What he's saying is simple. We need to be living our lives in such a way that not only do we recognize and understand that knowledge of the love of Christ, but we need to be living it in such a way that from the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, other people see it in our lives. You want to change the world and transform the world. The way to do that is let the far corners of your life, the height and the depth, people see how you live differently based on your faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we do this. If you are not grounded in the Bible, here's the reality. You are grounded in something outside of Christ. If you are grounded in self-help books, you're grounded in your career, you're grounded in sin, you're grounded in the world, etc., all of those things, you are grounded in the wrong thing. Start over. Today is that day. It is the foundational moment in your life where you recognize the power of the Bible to show you that knowledge, to fill your heart with the love of Christ, and experience the very last phrase there, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I'm tired of living a half-full life. I'm tired of seeing my brothers and sisters live a half-full experience and knowing that Christ wants to do so much more in their lives. I'm so tired of them coming and saying, you know, God, you know, preacher, I just don't have it figured out yet. I can't find it. The only way that you find it is right here. Right here. The very fullness of God, the knowledge of who He is and how He loves you is right here. It's in your hands, sitting on your coffee table, waiting for you to open it and experience that fullness that He has waiting for you. Look at Romans 15:20. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. What he's saying here is that there's people that the preacher can't even reach in your life. There are people that you have this opportunity to share the love of Christ with that I will never, ever be able to reach. And what are you doing with that? Where are you? Are you letting someone else come in and build on that foundation? Or are you reaching out in the breadth, the width, the height, the depth, and you're challenging the very world by the transforming love of Christ? Hebrews 11. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. If your life is built on anything other than Jesus Christ, we have work to do, my friends. And when that transformation takes place in your life, you begin to allow the Bible to ground you in your faith. That's the reality. The third part of our mission statement is a phrase that I find unique because most people leave this out of the equation. It says that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be empowered? And how do we live a life with the Holy Spirit that dwells in us each and every day? And how do we move forward with that? Look at 1 Corinthians. It's a longer passage. It's verses 6 through 11. So you might want to write that down and go back later and study that. But 1 Corinthians 12, 6 through 11, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who does what? He empowers them and all, them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In verse 7, verse 8, he writes, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. How many of you consider yourself wise? Okay. So we know we don't have that one. Okay. Someone ever tell you you're wise beyond your years? Yeah, so you have it. You just don't know you have it. And to the other, an utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit. He's given you this opportunity, that knowledge that says, I understand the difference between good and evil. I understand, even more importantly, the difference between good and what's best in my life. Go to the next slide. Verse 9. To another, he gives faith in that same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Verse 10. To another, he's working miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So what I would suggest is that whether it's wisdom or faith or miracles or service or whatever you want to call it, the ability to reach out into other cultures, missions work, whatever you want to call it, What has God empowered you with through the power of the Holy Spirit? See, without it, without that one thing, we are nothing. Without that one blessing that Christ has blessed you with through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He's empowered you with that gift to use it for His kingdom, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of who He is and share that love with others. If we're not using that gift, what are we doing? I think He also empowers us by the Holy Spirit as a guide for life. It's just a natural reaction, a response to trouble in your life. What do you do with that? You allow God to work in you, on you, and through you. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't know. I have heard so much about freedom this past year and this past week. But it's not the freedom that we know is real. It's a whole different level of freedom in our world today than what Christ is talking about here. It's about this Holy Spirit that comes and empowers you to accept that which is good, to accept that which is best in your life. And it's a guide for your life that leads to ultimate freedom from what? From the sin and the shame of this life. And the only way to shed that is to simply reach out to Christ and allow Him to take that sin, to take that shame from you, and simply say this: God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I need Jesus Christ to come into my life and change me, to transform me into something new. I don't know what that new is yet, but I'm willing to take that journey, Father. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, empower me by the Holy Spirit. Ground me in the Bible. Ground me in a faith and faithful followers of Jesus Christ so I can be surrounded by witnesses that have gone the distance, that have served you, that love you, that care for me, that want the best for me. And Father God, will you be the guide for my life and lead me in that Spirit of the Lord to the freedom that only exists by knowing Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be today. That's who we should be calling ourselves, free in Christ. Because if you know Christ, free at last, free indeed, you are free. You are truly free. Listen, Ann and Tim are going to come forward and we're going to have a song of invitation here. But the reality of this life is simple. Man, our body hurts sometimes. We're full of pain and struggle and sorrow and confusion about what's happened last year and already in the short time that we've been in this year. The pain of life is real, and we hurt. And what do we do with that pain and suffering? For you see, if we don't know Christ, we walk through life thinking that somehow, some way, through some self-help guru, some self-help book at Barnes & Noble, some on Amazon now, because no one really goes to a bookstore anymore, all right? We think we're going to find the answer. It's going to take all of that pain, all of that struggle, and that suffering. And all that Christ is asking you to do today is weigh two things. Where are you spiritually? Do you know Jesus Christ today? Do you love Him? Have you accepted Him into your life? And secondly, how is He transforming you each and every day? If you can answer those two questions, and you have it right, good for you. If the answer to those two questions leads you to more questions, won't you come as we sing this song today? Won't you come and be part of something greater than we could have ever imagined apart. Won't you come and accept the very love of Christ? Maybe for the very first time in your life. Maybe you're here today and you realize, God, I haven't been living my life right. I've got struggles. I've got pain that I don't know what to do with anymore. And I can't carry that load all on my own. Won't you accept Christ's love for you today? Maybe you're here today and you acknowledge, God, I've loved you for years, but I just never really truly let you in and allowed the Holy Spirit to transform my life and to change me. Maybe in these moments, it's an opportunity for you to do that very thing. And allow Christ to change you, to challenge you, and to transform you, to ultimately empower you by the Holy Spirit and transform the world for Him. Let's stand together. Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We ask that you watch over us today. We thank you for the opportunity of growing in your grace and knowledge and understanding who you are and how you love us, Father. That this morning we are truly empowered by the Holy Spirit because we have called out upon your name. That we serve a risen Savior today. Jesus, thank you for coming into our hearts. If we've made that decision today, Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit nudging us and moving us. But Father, we also know that you need to put us in the path of people that can change us, continue to transform us, to show us the right way, the difference between good and evil, good and better. What's best for us is you, Jesus. We worship you today. In Christ's name, amen. If you have a decision to make, won't you come today as we celebrate Jesus?